503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, I am a night crew foreman for a Safeway in the Coop, and I have it on good authority that Chocolate Chex Mix is not, repeat, not being discontinued. I order it every night. If you'd like, I can order you as much as you can handle. Just trying to help with your sweet tooth. Thanks, Jim and the Coup. P.S. I have two guesses on your very special guest for the listener party. It's either Nancy Pelosi or Christina Carlson. No, no, but thank you. 503-733-2970. It's certainly not Nancy Pelosi.
And maybe we can get Christina, but we're flying somebody. We can say that, right?
I guess we did. Yes, someone, we're flying someone. Now we've ruined it.
From all over the country.
See, we weren't going to say that. I wasn't going to specify that at all. Could have been someone who lived locally.
Could have been
someone who lived right here in this city. That is true. That would have been dull. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, he's sorry, but he won't resign. Don Imus was on Al Sharpton's radio program today. As a matter of fact, it's going on right now. He tried again this morning to explain his remark.
I wasn't drunk. I'm not some angry, raving nut on a nightclub stage, and I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. When I said a bad thing.
Yeah, since when does Al Sharpton have a radio program?
Everyone has a radio program.
It really is true.
There are plenty of satellites floating around, not a space and room to put radio programs on.
Lots of channels to fill and nothing to go there right now.
Yes.
But it's like every... You know what satellite radio is? I really don't say this is like sour grapes. I'm not saying this to knock it.
It's a no-growth business. That's what satellite radio is.
I wasn't going to say that, but that's also true.
Oh, what kind of peaked already?
What if we consolidate? What if we merge and only charge you $5, please?
Monopolies give people more choices.
The best part is those satellites, I think, only last for 10 years.
Yeah.
And they cost like $500 billion each to put up. So have fun with that. Well, whatever. You know, satellite, well, I don't want to go over the whole thing about it. But I'm just going to say this, that the satellite is just acres and acres and acres of channels. Nothing to put on it. And so that's why you have a channel that's nothing but like, I don't know, you just have a sound that, you know, one that's just nothing but the sound of Howard Stern's pulse, you know, or whatever it is. Well, it's the sound of Fred Norris's hair growing. But satellite radio is like that movie UHF with Weird Al Yankovic where he asks Stanley Spadowski, the janitor, "Hey, Stanley!
Yeah?
You want a TV show?
Okay."
And then the next thing you know, it's like Stanley Spadowski's uncle, you know, Funhouse with Uncle Nutso. That's what satellite radio is. Is that where Al Sharpton has it? Is it on satellite?
I would imagine so. I guess it's available, let's see, it's 1 o'clock Eastern time.
Or maybe he just sits in his basement at a card table and speaks to no one. All right, well, in any event, so Don Imus is on Al Sharpton's radio show.
Yeah, he says he doesn't want an apology from Imus. He wants him gone.
Don Imus should be fired.
Is it really possible to hate everyone involved with this story? Is
pretty
it
much.
Possible?
And, you know, Bernie got off easily, and he said things that were worse than
Bernie McGurk is sitting in the background. I mean, it's just, and look, and it's not that I'm going to sit here and defend whatever Bernie and Imus were saying. I'm just going to say this, that they've said so much worse in the past. Like, this really does just pale in comparison to crap that they've said before.
Well, it's like a continuous loop that's been going on for 30 years, basically.
I guess that's my thing, is like, who is it that's listening to the Imus show? I mean, whatever. You know, and I'm not going to tell somebody what they can say and what they can't. As long as he's not violating FCC rule, doesn't matter to me. Say it. Say whatever. I mean, listen, don't listen. I don't care. But I guess my whole thing is, like, who is listening? First of all, who's listening to the Imus show at this point? Not to knock down, and God bless him, he's successful in a hard industry and whatever. But I'm just, it really does make you wonder, A, who's listening at this point that's complaining, and B, who would still be listening to the Imus show at this point that would then be shocked by those comments? That's my thing.
Like, members of the chattering class. That's about it.
Was it just a slow day? I mean, if you're really listening to the Don Imus show, this is like tuning into the Howard Stern program and being horrified that he's talking about someone having lesbian sex.
I never hear anything about that anymore.
No, you really don't, do you?
No. I'm sure it's still going on, but nobody's shocked by it.
No, and, you know, I got to say, you know, and I actually, the reason that I really don't even know about what's going on the Howard show is the people I know who are huge fans, like Kristen, who was like a Howard fan from way back. She's like a dyed-in-the-wool Howard fan. And I was like, I asked her the other day, I'm like, do you listen to the... And what people can think that this is me knocking on satellite for its own sake, which I'm not. I have no problem with new technology. I'm an early adopter. But I asked her, I'm like, you know, do you... I said, do you have Sirius? Do you listen? She's like, nah, just, you know, why bother? And that was sort of the country's collective reaction, I think, which is sort of a, no.
It's something to check out, and you get rid of it after a while. It's kind of like a gym membership.
Exactly.
You try it up for a couple of months, and then you go, and then you stop, and you went, oh, I still have this charge, don't I? I have to quit this sooner or later.
Why do you have this? Well, it came when I bought the Tahoe.
Exactly.
And then you just kind of move on. I just don't understand who it is that listens to the Imus show at this point and that was then taken away. And you're right, and Bernie, who's like 10 times as bad as Imus is.
Right, he's like Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
He's still stuck in 1971.
It's true.
Let's bring on the gravelly voice of New Yorker. Here's Charlie Rangel. He's going to complain to him.
I don't tolerate being around people who say derogatory things about anyone. I substitute myself for them and try to feel the pain and cause the embarrassment about speaking up when it's not popular to do. What he has done is unconscionable.
Yeah, whatever. He's from New York and he's shot by something.
I was going to say, you live in New York City.
I mean, people are dismembered outside your kitchen window.
I was just going to say that.
Please clean up the mess and pop it up.
A crack flowing like the River Ganges and parents turning out their 9-year-olds to pay the rent. Get over it. Jesus, man. We have real problems in this country. Good God. Let's see if I have... hold on. Do I have the sound? Let's see. I got to find the sound. Don't go anywhere. Let's, oh, no, that's wrong. Let's, with the...
K-O-T-K!
Friend, godlike former program director Bruce Agler.
You're about to be yelled at, then.
No, I'm not going to yell at you at all. I just wanted... I actually was just telling Scotty, but I guess he wanted me to tell you myself. The Sharpton program isn't on satellite. It's on 1480 AM in Portland. It's a regular over-the-air show.
Really?
He's on right now. You can tune over yourself and listen on 1480.
Thanks. Thanks for that.
Yeah, well.
not that anyone likely will.
Yeah, well, it's not like 1480 has ever had a big... I don't even know if you know that station exists.
They have towers in St. John's, I think.
Yes.
They do. They have been taken and sold for scrap.
Yeah,
they have been sold for meth money by now.
That's the Portland urban station.
Oh, don't you think
so? Which, unfortunately, has never really done very well in the ratings.
I'm stunned.
So they've started running talk programs now, and one of those shows they run is Sharpton. So.
Well, I'm sure it'll be a powerhouse.
And man, don't bash satellite radio, because the best music format on the radio, whether it's terrestrial or satellite, is Outlaw Country on Sirius Satellite. That is just great.
I'm sure CBS Radio appreciates those things.
Well, what can I say? I don't work for them, so.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go.
K-O-T-K!
Thanks. Thank you. Whatever. It's 503. I don't have it, so whatever. It's fine. The only time, actually, I've ever used satellite radio, and CBS is glad that we're continuing this discussion, was when you and I, Tim, when we went to Safeco Field, and they gave us that Lincoln Navigator. Wait, is that a Ford Navigator? Lincoln Navigator?
It was something a little bit smaller than that.
It was huge, though. It was a huge SUV. Anyway, and then blah, 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 blah. And then we had the satellite radio. And it was sort of interesting, I guess, but... I don't know. It's like the whole thing. Okay, at Lincoln Navigator. The whole thing is just that, like, it's still just some other dick picking your music for you. And, like, I've moved past that as a listener. You know what I mean? So you're listening to somebody else's iPod is listening to somebody else's iPod.
Well,
it's
like an iPod.
I don't care how cleverly they package it. I don't care how they position it. I've moved beyond letting some guy with a selector program sit and decide what I'm going to listen to. All right. Let's see. Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, Rick. I wanted to tell you that as one of the nation's truck drivers, I leave Portland every day right about this time, and until you go national, I'm pretty much hosed for radio, and what am I going to listen to, you know, in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, but I mean, what did you listen to? What did truckers listen to before in the middle of nowhere?
Well, Rick, I don't know. I've listened to you for a long time, and I've only done this job about a year. So once I did this job, as soon as you went fuzzy when I hit about Longview, I was like, crap, what do I do now?
And so you have satellite for that reason?
I do.
I mean, I got to admit, like, if you're some guy that is, like, you're doing, like, a long haul or something, you're driving from, whatever, California to Kansas, I mean, you know, whatever, you got to find something to listen to. So I guess that makes sense. I think it's, like, for me, though, You know, especially if you're talking about music, it's like, hey, you know what, I got my own Bob Seger box set. I'll just bring that along. So,
yeah, you can only listen to Bob Seger so many times.
I suppose. You know what, that's, you know what's cool, when you're in the middle of nowhere, I don't know if these channels still exist on the AM dial, but they used to have these trucker radio networks on AM. They would have, and I forget what it was even called. There was some network, and it was called, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The National Truck Driving Radio Network or something.
Yeah, they used to give weather forecasts and traffic reports.
Oh, it was so great. I used to listen to that when I was a kid, man. It was just the most romantic, fascinating, coolest thing. And I know that sounds strange, but, man, it was just, it made it, it was so cool and exotic sounding. So
drivers today are all from the south. I don't know if it's a gigantic trucker exchange program and there's a bunch of northerners. Everybody I ever hear that drives a truck talks like they just walked out of Texarkana.
Totally.
I don't have anything to them, so.
No, I could, okay, I can see on that. All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, thank you.
Matt. Yeah, and it was like, and there would always be, and if you listen to that trucker radio network, this is now discussion only for people who are really into radio, and so I'll end it in like 12 seconds, but it was a trucker radio network, it was on the AM band, and it was like a continuous morning show, by which I mean it was always a team. There was always a host, and like a sidekick, and like a weather guy, and then there was a girl, and she would give traffic updates, but it was like nationwide traffic. She'd be like, hey, if you're traveling through the south, be aware that there's construction all the way through, you know, I-14 or whatever it is. And then they played a lot of like classic country music. It was a lot of like, you know, Statler Brothers records and crap. It was fascinating to listen to if you were a kid. Let's see. Scotty is typing, please, this is, I get the won't you please go national plea from Scotty like three times a week. So you're just showing me national. Right? You don't want to have, Scotty says, I want to have small town dreams and minimum wage the remainder of my working years. Not.
Oh, Scotty.
Yeah, that's not going to change when you go national. You go national, take it from me, my friend, you go national, nothing gets any better. Nothing improves. It's just a different kind of hell. Here's Tim Riley.
I enjoyed all those conversations. What was it? How to steal cable, which you did like every other day.
God damn.
Oh.
I felt terrible for you back in those days. I knew you'd be back.
I felt terrible for me. Just waking up every day, just wishing I was dead.
And then it gave birth to something even worse that we won't talk about after you left.
Oh, yeah. You didn't really think there could be anything worse than my national show, and yet you were proven wrong, Tim Riley.
Absolutely.
It's funny you mentioned this, actually, because out in my car, I did bring a whole bunch of remnants of the national show that we could put up at the listener party, including some of the worst marketing materials you have ever seen in your life. Ever. Ever, ever. I also brought with me, I don't want to get off into a whole thing here, but because the listener
party. Where's the picture of you wrapped in the flag with a long hair?
Yes.
That was a classic.
I have that. I have that one, too. That's the one they put in Talkers Magazine.
I think it was obligatory for young talk show hosts to wrap themselves in a flag and have long hair back then.
That's the one they put
hair extensions.
They put that one in Talkers Magazine. Those not really hair extensions. That was my real hair.
Okay, real hair.
The guy was blowing a fan at me while he took those photographs, by the way, like Tony Katane style.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen those.
Oh, they're terrible. They're so terrible. I'm going to bring him in later, and I'll get your reaction live on the air.
They convinced no one of anything positive about this. They convinced no one to find out more by calling the toll-free number.
No.
Well, now it can be said.
And that they build me in talk radio's next superstar.
No.
No. Oh, no. I have the handwritten note from my boss at that time, the guy who was syndicating my national show. One of the things I'll put on display at the party, Listener Party 10, I have the handwritten note from him ordering me not to use the word man, as in like, hey, man, what's up, or baby. He decided that that was the key to rating success.
How about babe?
No variations thereof.
Sugar.
Not to say baby, not to say man, and never to mention that I was from Portland. That in his mind, that was what was going to make, those three things would make the show a huge success. Don't say baby, don't say man, never say that you're in Portland. Equals, you know, ratings growth. Here's Tim Riley.
Which made everyone wonder, where is the show actually coming from?
From the Great Barrier Reef, is what it sounded like. Yeah.
Yakima woman and her 10-year-old daughter slightly hurt when a deranged motorist rammed their car from behind going 100 miles an hour. This happened in Klamath Falls. The victim's car went across the southbound lanes of Highway 97 about 2 miles outside of the town, ended up partially submerged in a canal. Investigators believe it was deliberate. The 56-year-old man, Stanley Sleeper of Klamath Falls, who looks like the breeding of Mitchell Bickford and Yosemite Sam, which is enough to scare anyone,
genius,
is under arrest, and his behavior surprises no one. He's attempted murder and driving under the influence, which is... Well, everyone in Klamath Falls could be charged with that at one point or another.
Yeah, I mean, you could just round up that. Everybody in that town is probably going to blow like a .2 right about now. I mean, this is, come on. I mean, it's Klamath Falls. Let's see. Rick, is the mystery guest a ruler taped to a life wheel hitting a doorstop? Just checking. But yes, seriously, please, please, please have the cable box on display. The cable box, which is what made the mystery noise, that will be on display at Listener Party 10. It will be. That will be on display there. Let's see. What are we... What am I doing here? Scotty, should I be answering the... All right. Oh, is there a good friend, Dennis Pitzenberger? Hello, sir.
How are you doing, sir?
What's up, brother?
Well, I just was going to say I couldn't help but flip over to that other station just for a minute to listen to the Reverend's show.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how bad... Now, I did not know you the way that, you know, you and I are acquaintances now when you were at your national show. But believe me, your show, even at the national level, though you call it a monstrosity... was absolutely 10 share all the way compared to what I just listened to for 10 minutes.
Uh-oh, is that a racist remark?
No. I do not believe that was a racist comment in any way. It was a terrible program?
Well, it's just, you know, it's him agreeing with caller after caller that obviously is from somewhere in the South screaming sentence fragments about how Don Imus should be, you know, drawn and quartered while on fire.
It must be so embarrassing for Imus just to have to go. I'm amazed that he did that. I'm amazed that Imus just didn't tell them to stick that. And again, I'm not trying to defend what he said, but he just seems like such an irascible bastard. And he's just got so much money. He's got so much FU money at this point. I am amazed that when CBS, who must be very proud of some of the behavior of their recent hires, that he didn't just tell them to stuff it. Well, whatever. All right.
Well, had he got a big enough hit of oxygen, he might have had the energy to do so.
I wouldn't worry about time spent listening. Anyone flipping over from the Emerson show.
All right. Thank you. All right, there you go.
That station might improve with a car show on weekends, too. Had you thought of that? It could be syndicated.
Here's Jim Riley.
Suggestion.
Okay.
After a kegger in his honor, police said a 17-year-old birthday boy posted the photos on MySpace. Well, apparently the police caught up with him, and they identified every one of the photos. This happened in Myrtle Creek. This is a place, not a person. Arresting three adults on suspicion of furnishing alcohol to minors and citing nine minors.
Myrtle Creek sounds like a porn star from 1925.
Yep, with red stilettos.
She's 95 years old now. She's in that Black and Gray series.
Mm-hmm. Adults living at the house had bought a keg for their son's birthday party. They were partying with the kids. Well... maybe they're thinking of brighter days, like a move to Klamath Falls someday. It's amazing stuff to get off MySpace, said the chief. You learned a lot about kids and the community.
He threw a what?
A keg party.
Oh. All right. You denied me. You deprived me the opportunity to
teach. What was I supposed to say?
Never mind.
Yeah, I don't...
Go back.
Where are you going with that?
Read the opening sentence again.
After a kegger in his honor, police said the 17-year-old boy posted a photo...
That's pointless. Now, see, because then I would say...
It doesn't matter.
Kegger.
I really
knew that. That doesn't even want to play. Then the machine itself is thwarting my attempts at humor. All right.
I'm not going to say what birthday or whatever, but my friend's mom threw me a birthday party where she...
When you were 18?
I was like 17-ish.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that took a long time to break down your defenses.
No. Well, my parents are now out of town, so I can talk about it.
Right.
They had like the real birthday, like the mom-friendly birthday party before, and then after we left...
You had a diversionary birthday party?
A diversionary birthday party, and then this friend's mother maybe made a bunch of high school kids jello shots.
Fantastic. A Potemkin party beforehand to throw your mom off the scent. Genius. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you, sir?
Yeah, hey, Rick, I was wondering if that photograph you were talking about was the same one that they used
on FARC.com's Photoshop contest of you.
That's right. A long time ago, FARC did a Rick Emerson Photoshop contest. Because I think that's back when our friend Suanna was on the show, and I was making fun of somebody. She was having a FARC party at her house. Insert joke here. She was having a bunch of guys who she met on FARC and just come and hang out with her. And I was making fun, and so they retaliated by having a Rick Emerson Photoshop contest. No, although it's similar to that.
I have a copy of that.
Yeah, that's a bad photograph. That's actually not the one I'm talking about. All that photograph is terrible itself.
Oh, it's hideous, but
great. Display at the party.
I also wanted to ask if you could have Mr. Riley pronounce Michael Rodriguez in the style of Les Nessman.
Michael, who is Michael Rodriguez?
Or Robert Rodriguez, the director of Grindhouse.
What? Tim Riley is not a monkey to dance for you, sir.
Oh, please, please. I want to hear him say...
No.
No. Not even if we're children.
No. Tim Riley is not your dancing marionette. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
An early morning fire at a cafe in Northeast Portland is under investigation. The fire was at the Vita Cafe on Northeast Alberta Street. For all the gentrified folks hanging around, no injuries reported in the blaze. It's unknown if it was even open.
Gentrified. Is that how they do things? That's what the Beverly Hillbillies were engaging in. Gentrification.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's see here. Well, it's time to celebrate Easter once again with the president, who has Easter greetings for America, even though it's a day late.
We wish all Americans a peaceful weekend. We wish our troops all the very best.
This thing won't turn off.
That's a tremendously secular gift from Mormons. Where might that be purchased in the land of...
In the behind the Zion curtain?
Mm-hmm.
I'm unclear about
it. I'm surprised there weren't complaints about it.
I don't really know where they... I don't know where they got this from. All right. I got to put this over here. All right.
And I guess Bush has a second greeting. Oh, he says he went to Easter services with his parents, apparently.
I prayed for their safety. I prayed for their strength and comfort, and I prayed for peace.
That's not going to work. M-Pop, the oldest member of the M-Pop singing group Hanson, is now a dad. The band has announced on his website that 26-year-old Isaac Hanson and his 22-year-old wife, Nicole, welcome son, Clark Everett.
Now, Isaac
in Oklahoma. Things must have really gone downhill.
And Branson. Isaac is the youngest one, isn't he? Or is that Zach?
I didn't follow the happenings of this band.
Who was the... Who was the one who kind of looked like a girl?
I thought they all did.
Was that Taylor Hanson?
Yeah, it might have been.
He was
on the cover of like.
He was the pretty Hanson.
All the teen magazines.
Well, there was three of them. There were three Hanson brothers, not to be confused with the Hanson brothers from the movie Slapshot, or the side project of No Means No. This is Hanson Hanson, the Bop whatever. What was their other single?
I think that was it.
I was agonizing over this with Joni the other day about the Spice Girls. I couldn't remember the Spice Girls follow-up single to Wannabe. All right, well, one thing at a time. Hanson had Mbop. Their follow-up single was, their follow-up single was Where's the Love? That was their follow-up single. And then they had a ballad after that, whose name I cannot remember.
Are you talking about the Spice Girls?
I'm talking about Hanson right now. Mbop, followed by Where's the Love, which is their follow-up single to Mbop. And then I can't remember the name. The Hanson, Hanson had some third single, which was a mid-tempo ballad, and I can't remember what it was called. I don't suppose it matters at this point. Anyway, but Hanson, just like all of those groups, they had like... Because, like New Kids on the Block, where you have all your bases covered. You got your cute guy, your smart guy, your rebel guy, and then your guy who looks like a dog's ass. And so it is in Hanson, where I'm pretty sure it's that oldest brother, just all kinds of bad looking. I mean, where it's like, the younger Hanson brother, or the youngest Hanson brother, who was the drummer. And a lot of girls like him because he was young, because he was like 10, and they found him adorable. And then there was the middle Hanson brother who looked like a girl. I mean, he looked like a brick girl. And then there was the oldest Hanson brother who was just goddamned ugly. Just ugly as sin. Just looked like Danny Wood from New Kids on the Block. But, like, not even that hot. Just really... And you could tell as the group went through puberty for, like, those 2 years that they were popular, he would get shoved further and further into the background until he was eventually just the sort of out-of-focus guy because he was so unbelievably unattractive. So... Let's forget that I just had this long discussion about Hanson and which of the brothers are the hottest. I'm going to distract you by saying this, that the Spice Girls had Wannabe, which was their lead single, And then what was their follow-up? And the follow-up was that song that had them in the desert doing martial arts while they were dressed like futuristic sci-fi heroines.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the same one.
Wannabe, and then they had Two Become One, which is, again, the ballad which had them wandering in New York City late at night. What was the second Spice Girls single? Tim?
I'm too old for such things.
I can't remember what it was called. See, you remember that video, too. They're in the desert, like out on the salt flats.
And they're all in the shiny plastic,
totally,
right?
Totally, yeah. Like, dressed, and they're all kind of dressed up as futuristic sort of sci-fi heroine types, and they're doing, like, a lot of karate chops and throwing, like, metal boomerangs. This conversation interests no one. Here's Tim Riley.
Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright questioned the Bush administration's policy in Iraq and the credibility of he and Vice President Cheney. She responded to Cheney's comments last week that portrayed a bleak outcome if U.S. forces do leave Iraq.
There's a lack of reality in the administration about what's going on. I think the American people signaled very clearly that they are getting a better sense of what is happening and that there's not a very good outcome to the war in Iraq.
Rick Hansen was on Deal or No Deal last week, really? That's sad.
That is sad.
Said, I thought it was the Goo Goo Dolls until Howie Mandel cleaned it up for me. Rick, are you going to have photos from the big game makeover? Mike in Portland. Yes, we will. I think. Do I have photos? Well, they must be on the website.
Those photos there go back to like the 70s.
Man.
Your website hasn't been updated in like 30 years.
That's not true.
It is true. Why don't you just punch down a laptop and let people look up their own? We have long departed employees.
Okay.
With bios that were written many years ago.
Okay, we have, to be fair.
Nobody looks the same, hasn't looked the same on that in years.
To be fair.
Oh, yes.
Those pictures are terrible that you have on there.
Wait, it's not that they're terrible.
It basically says, like, Sarah Dillon intern.
To be fair about this, though, the website itself has been updated. The photo sections could perhaps use a little sprucing. The photos of the cast and employees. I'm looking right here.
I mean,
here.
It's not like people haven't had access to these things for like 10 years.
I'm looking right here. Staff and friends pics. Let's see what we have
here.
These
friends, some of them are no longer friends and they haven't been in quite some time. They've gone on to other things.
No, that's really true. Okay, you're right. I'm looking at the photos right here, and it really is incredibly outdated.
I mean, they've gone on to lead rewarding lives.
No, that's fair. I'm looking right here, and a lot of these photos are really, really outdated.
I shouldn't tell you, I don't even have a website.
There's only a single solitary photograph of Tim where he looks about 4 years old.
And there are like five of Betsy.
There's five of Betsy, and I guess she's just Betsy the stripper. Let's see, and there's a bunch of photographs of Sarah, which don't look bad, but they look totally outdated. They don't look anything like you look now. And then mine all look awful. No offense to whoever took these photographs. I don't even remember who took these photographs, so I hope I'm not insulting a friend. These photos are awful. Thank you for pointing this out. I had no idea my website was so outdated in the photo. Well, how? Because, let's be honest, because I'm not Clyde. I don't just go home and sit and look at my own photos on the website. So how would I know? I mean, really. I don't go home and obsessively track the hits on my site. Let's see. Oh, it's Say You'll Be There. That was the second Spice Girls hit. Say You'll Be There, claims Aaron. I'll take his word for it. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We should take a break here to come back and reset, as they say, around the corner. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Rue, Peter Carlin about last night's Sopranos debut. More from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Don't forget, we're 10 days away from Rick Emerson Listener Party 10. You stay right there. Hey, just so you know, I'm gonna start referring to everything as being hot as balls. Just so you know. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent James Roop. What else? Peter Carlin for the Oregonian talking about Sopranos last night, Entourage. We'll talk about Listener Party 10. Rick, about these Hi. I'm a professional broadcaster. Rick, about the special party guest, will the secret guest be wearing her Mets team sweatshirt? Will she still respect you the next day? I'm not saying anything about anything, sir. We have a special unannounced guest. Well, I guess it's announced, but it's a mystery guest. Special mystery guest who will be making an appearance at Rick Emerson Listener Party 10. Mystery guest whose identity we cannot reveal, we cannot hint at, we cannot identify or explicate in any way. That is 10 days from today. Rick Emerson Listener Party 10. Rick, about the Spice Girls. I believe their second single, yes, was called Say You'll Be There, which was followed by To Become One. To raise the stakes on this sort of thing, you need only to ask what the follow-up single from Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba was. I have no idea. Oh, wait, no, that's not true. The follow-up to Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba was... Now it's gone. I don't have it. He says, what about the Ace of Base single off their second album? That was Beautiful Life, off the album by the same name, sir. All right, it's 5037. A Beautiful Life is a great song. I would go so far as to say that A Beautiful Life is actually the best Ace of Base single of all time. Hello. My name is Rick Emerson. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, the original hairy, scary guy from groundzeromedia.org, a man who is horrified by my Ace of Base knowledge, Clyde Lewis. Hi there.
Yeah, that monkey music. You're bleeping it?
Yeah,
why?
You can't say that.
Okay.
Because you can't say that.
Okay. I don't know why.
If the Reverend Al Sharpton heard
seriously,
that.
Seriously.
Oh, that is really... No. I'm not going to get into how silly that was.
What are you channeling Dennis Pitzenberger?
No, I'm not. That is the silliest thing I have ever heard in my life. Nah. That is so silly. That is silly.
Right.
Silly.
Let's move on.
I agree with you, Clyde.
We will move on. It's snowing in Florida right now, for those of you that are counting.
Okay.
And also, the Solomon Islands raised 7 meters after the earthquake. Are we all happy now?
I don't even know what islands you're talking about. And
the Solomon Islands. They were in an earthquake a while ago. Caused a tsunami. Huge one. Pulled the reef right out of the ocean. Isn't that nice? Now, you know why that's happening? Any ideas why that's happening?
I don't know. Really, the more pertinent question is, do I care in any real
you
way?
You should care.
I don't.
Okay, well, then, fine.
I don't. In no
it's
way.
It's your funeral.
Okay, boys, play nice.
I'm just saying, things that have to do with the environment couldn't possibly interest me less.
Well, it's not global warming, my friend. Global warming, the inconvenient truth is more of a convenient excuse, and I'm going to talk about that tonight at the lounge, and people are going to be, glued to what I'm going to say, because I have so much stuff that I'm going to reveal tonight at the lounge that people are going to go, whoa, because I've got patents, I've got Ritz, I've got Donald Rumsfeld, I've got General Myers all talking about what they're really doing, and it's the scariest thing ever.
Is it because the moon is too close to us?
Nope.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with what they patented back in 1989, what they patented back in the 90s, what they're using now. And it's just, I mean, there's stuff right now that I wish I had every multimedia outlet in the world to talk about this, because it is, I mean, I will be on Public Access TV talking about this too.
Is it because of Crystal Tab?
No.
Okay.
Is there a Crystal Tab now?
Yeah, they patented that in like 19, well, I guess it was 91. But
so would that make it White Tab?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Or Clear Tab.
Uh-huh.
It's up there with Crystal Pepsi.
Okay. Yes.
Anyway, so I just, you know, I've been doing some research. Just really, really, it's just amazing what I've uncovered about what's really going on. You know, how do you feel the weather is today? I mean, we wake up with sunshine, we have a major storm move in, and then it's gray, it's sunshine. It's just, the weather's acting really bizarre and peculiar, and it's not having anything to do with global warming. Here's another thing, too. Did you know that now the president has said that he doesn't want any weatherman to report any strange weather anomaly unless it's approved by the NOAA
That's not true. So if I call KGW right now, they're going to tell me the president has ordered them not to report anomalies.
They can't report strange anomalies such as geometric shaped clouds. They can't report anomalies.
If I call KGW right now, they'll tell me they've been ordered that by the White House.
I don't think they've enacted it yet, but I think that it's right now in the process.
You're making this up.
No, I'm not.
You're making it up.
No, I'm not, because there are a lot of weathermen right now that are stepping aside and they're stating for the record that they're seeing things like geometrically shaped clouds that aren't normal. They're seeing signatures in clouds that aren't normal. They're seeing numbers in clouds that aren't normal.
So the White House is going to call Richard Nunn in Florida and tell him this.
Yes. If a hurricane forms in a strange place and the anomaly is there, they have to report it as is. They cannot theorize why it's happening. They have to do it completely on science.
You're making this up.
Okay. If you say so.
I am saying so.
Good.
You're
I'm
saying,
glad.
Who's that guy? Who is it? It's who's
Scott Stevens?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Sure.
Who's he?
Scott Stevens is the weatherman that decided to.
Who's the weather guy at Coin? Tim, yeah, and what's it? So they're being called registered. So as we speak, the
weathermen are being told that there are going to be weather patterns. They don't want to panic the people. They can't, you know, these weather
who's
patterns.
Who's panicked by strange clouds?
Who's panicked by snow in Florida? Give me a break, man. It doesn't snow in Florida in April.
It does.
What are you talking about? No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It just did. It just did. It does.
Yeah, it just did. Don't you find that odd?
It's a strange...
Rick, don't you find it odd that an island was raised 7 meters after an earthquake? Don't you find it odd that...
I would find it odd if nothing was different after an earthquake.
Really?
If an earthquake changed nothing, we wouldn't call it an earthquake. We'd call it that day where nothing happened.
So if you were to wake up tomorrow and the West Hills were flattened by an earthquake, you wouldn't think it peculiar?
I'd find it unfortunate, but if you told me an earthquake came along and changed the ground, I would say that's what earthquakes do.
What about an earthquake that people heard a boom and an explosion before the earthquake hit? Would that make you feel weird?
You know what you sound like? You sound like one of those Scientologists.
No.
Downtown, you're like,
no, I'm only stating
Rick,
what I've been reading.
Would you find it troublesome if everything you knew turned out to be a hoax? And
Rick,
then you say, like, yes or no.
Rick, have you ever heard of an EMP pulse?
Have I heard of an EMP pulse from anybody who's not you? No.
Okay. Well...
Have I heard of an EMP pulse?
Why don't you get online, Google the word EMP pulse, and then why don't you Google a patent about explosions without radiation and see if the government's been working on this for, 15 years or so. About the same time,
why
Mr.
Gore, make it snow
about
in Florida?
The same time.
Why would the government, why would the government be making it snow in Florida?
They're not making it snow in Florida.
Well, then what the hell does it have to do with the government blowing things up?
If the government decides they want to heat your ionosphere and they don't realize that heating the ionosphere in Juneau, Alaska isn't going to cause an anomaly in Florida, they're not at fault. Why is it that the temperature in Alaska is 70 degrees and it gets cold in Florida? Ever figured that one out, Rick? Have you ever looked up a place called Gakone, Alaska?
Not as often as he should.
He really? Should, yes, he should.
I've been meaning to, but I have all this eating to do.
Yeah, look up Gakone, Alaska. Look up a little thing called the antenna array in Gakone. And you'll figure out what's going on.
Now you're just making up words.
No, I'm not.
Okay, what time is the Ground Zero Lounge happening? Just tell people where they can go to hear more of this.
Hey, it's at 8 o'clock tonight, but guess what? I found a rabbit hovering around the Ross Island Grocery at Easter time, and I took a picture and put it on my MySpace. People think it's the weirdest thing they've ever seen. It's me holding a rabbit. I look like a serial killer.
Fantastic. All right, kids. There you go. All right, bye now.
Oh, good Lord, Clyde.
Just remember, even if the phone call's over, he's still out there talking to children. That's Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, from the Ground Zero Lounge tonight at Dante's or groundzeromedia.org. You must have liberal employers. Jesus, God almighty. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
So do you want to hear Imus on Trapton?
More than anything.
That's what I thought.
Didn't we just play that?
No, we have brand new ones.
Oh, okay. Is he just the guest? Is he the new sidekick there? He's just going to hang out on Sharpton's show every day? That should be his punishment. That'll be his penance. He'll just have to do a radio program with Al Sharpton.
So this is probably what Dennis Pitzenbarger heard when he was listening a little while ago.
Maybe.
Let's see. Ima says he will not step down, so stop asking.
I'm not a politician. I don't have any. We don't have an agenda. Our agenda is to try to be funny. And sometimes we go too far, and sometimes we go way too far.
Wow, he sounds like he's breathing in Tom Likas' mold.
Just one batch of mold they all share. Ed McMahon, too.
His remarks are not racial.
I didn't think. I mean, I know. I'm just telling you what I thought. I didn't think it was racial. I wasn't even thinking racial. I was thinking like a West Side Story deal, like one team's tough and one team's not so tough.
That's kind of the problem with people that age, I guess.
I suppose. I didn't see anything wrong with it. So, I mean, I suppose the fact that he sees nothing wrong with it is sort of indicative of the whole deal. But really, it does, and I hate to keep repeating the same point, but it really does seem like this is just too little too late to be upset about, relatively speaking, because as you noted, that I'm a show is and has for many years just been like one continuous Archie Bunker loop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, they finally fired what's-his-name, Sid Rosenberg, a couple years years ago. And here's the thing. They
well, that's not made any difference. There's still enough of them left.
It
had no impact on the program. There's still enough bigotry and racism to go around.
It's still just a studio full of pinheads. But, I mean, but, yeah. They, and the
brought to you courtesy of CBS.
They did. Edward O. Murrow would be proud. They fired Sid Rosenberg, and they didn't even fire him for any of the hideous racist things he said over the years. They fired him because he made some remark about Kylie Minogue had breast cancer, I think, and he made some hideous remark about her boob. And they were like, well, that's it. A white woman's breast is not to be the subject of fun. But they didn't fire him, and these are not my words. This is Sid Rosenberg on the Ima Show years ago. They didn't fire him. When, and I am paraphrasing now, but when Sid on the Ima Show referred to, I don't think it was both sisters, I forget if it was Venus or Serena, but he's talking about the Williams sisters, and he referred to them, this is so hideous, he referred to them as blah, 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 they look like they ought to be, he said they, God, what did he say? He said they said that they look like they ought to be, some, he was like, I don't even want to say, but it was like a National Geographic type thing, but it was like some nature show, but blah, blah, blah. And it was just an awful, horrible, racist comment, which I think everybody on the show immediately realized. Like, it's one of those things where he said it and everybody kind of went, oh. That apparently was, you know, that was, he could stay for that. As soon as he made fun of the bosom of a white woman, though, then it was time for him to get the sack. You can tell it's had a mellowing influence on the show by the vast racial tolerance that the IMUS program now demonstrates on a daily basis.
So, at that point, Alice Sharpton said IMUS has to go.
I don't know what's in your heart.
I want people to
make
it.
I'm not going
to
call you a name. I'm not going to call you a bigot. I'm going to say what you said was racist.
He's a cracker.
I'm going to say what you said was abominable. I'm going to say you should be fired for saying it.
That's fine.
You could be fired and the nicest guy in the world, but you ought to be fired.
I want to have that bed playing behind me every time I make some social point.
But thanks for coming on the show anyway.
I will give you credit for showing up.
That's so great.
I'll even give you more credit if you decide to change your mind about resigning.
Well, but you're not making an informed decision right now.
Well, I want you to inform me.
Okay, I'm here.
One thing you'll find out about me, I don't meet privately. I meet publicly. We can put it all on the line.
Okay, I just read this right now. This is from, MediaMatters.com. So what Sid Rosenberg called Venus Williams, he called her an animal. And then said she would never be in Playboy. You've got a better shot at National Geographic.
Whoa.
That's what I again not my words clearly, but Sid Rosenberg on the Ima Show
said that
years ago.
Damn,
this is some years ago. This is 5 years ago, I think. But he was talking about Venus Williams, and he said she'd never be in Playboy. Blah, 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 National Geographic, blah, blah, called her name. But, and that, for that, he got to keep his job. But as soon as he made fun of Kylie Minogue, bam, gone. Gone, fired as the day is long. So, I do have to say this, though, that Al Sharpton, you do have to give it up to that guy, that there's just nothing he can't capitalize on.
Right.
It really is amazing. Because, you know, that guy is always looking around for the next Tawana Brawley. That's the thing about Al Sharpton. He is constantly on a new Tawana hunt.
Man, he's an African-American Rosie O'Donnell.
It really is true. What can I be angry about today? I do want to have just a funk bed playing in the background every time I make some really serious point about the state of American relations. Just, and every time I walk into a room, I want to have it playing underneath me. Can you play the first one today, the first of the last two you just played?
The first of the last two? The second for the last one?
Yes.
Okay.
We could call it
that. So
that
would be the third one?
Okay, fine, Mr. Fancy Journalistic Terms.
Don't know what's in your heart.
I want people to make
I'm not going
to
call you a name. I'm not going to call you a bigot.
Right
I'm going to say what you said was racist. I'm going to say what you said was abominable. I'm going to say you should be fired for saying it.
That's fine.
You could be fired and the nicest guy in the world, but you ought to be fired.
All right, excellent. I have to find out what that music, Scotty. Please not to be locating that music. I'm going to have that underneath me all the time.
It sounds familiar.
Yes, I don't know what it is.
Is it Express? Wonderful. BT Express.
That's what it
is. Well, this song has come up before.
We were talking about BT Express. Well, we were talking about BT Express because that's one of those groups that Wolfman Jack Entertainment Company was offering.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Let's see. Greg, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
How you doing, Rick?
What's up?
Well, you know, I heard the Ima's thing on another radio station. They played the full clip over a few times, and there's something I don't know if you touched on because I just got my car and turned you on. But the word jigaboo is what came up in there. It wasn't Ima's who said that.
It was Bernie who said that.
And he got away with that.
That's his guy. That's his team. That's his crew, you know?
Yeah,
Hey, just like you got to take responsibility for Scotty, you know?
Sadly.
There's one more thing, Rick.
Yeah.
EMD?
Yeah.
is electromagnetic pulse. It's like the ATM machine thing. It's ATM. It's EMP. And today at the bank, there's this guy got in the line next to me and said, "Hey, I need to change my PIN number, please."
And yes, yes.
It's PIN. It's just PIN, guys.
Would you like a radio program, sir? You're exactly the kind of thinker that we look for, and I mean that sincerely.
No, I couldn't do what you do, but I'll call from time to time.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Have one.
All right, there you go. Yeah, Bernie was the one who said that. I mean, not that it makes any difference. Bernie, I think, was actually quoting something. He was actually quoting a Spike Lee film, I think, what he said. But still, as you're right, it's like Bernie's just in the background, just, all right, I-Man, you go. Go take the lumps, I-Man. So, Jesus. All right. Let's do a couple more here, then we'll take breaks. 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, there's a lot of conversation about the Sopranos in the water cooler. Or at the water cooler, I should say. Tom from New Jersey says he's happy with the return of the Sopranos. But last night's episode lacked action.
It's a little slow, but I think it's a build-up till the end. So that was a good start.
I didn't really care for last night's episode. I stand by my assessment.
It was pretty boring.
Yeah, I stand by my assessment that the show started to go downhill in the fifth season.
But I do like the underlying anticipation of you think something really terrible is going to happen at any moment, which is why it's so boring.
But here's the thing is, I don't think that's going to be the case. Here's my read on it. I think that the Sopranos, they've got 8 episodes left. 8, that's it, man. That's it, and then it's done. And I think they're going to do 8 episodes, and I have this fear that the show is just going to end with kind of a feeling, and it's just going to be anticlimactic, air going out of a balloon, and nothing's going
to
happen.
I was just disappointed that they didn't have more of the characters on the show.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Paulie and, like, all those guys. And
well, you know, the problem is, I think that the problem is that, like, they split the final season into 2 sections. So what you're seeing now is the season premiere was really just the middle of the season, because they took the season and they split it into 2 halves, artificially. They made 2 seasons out of it. So last night was really not meant to be a season premiere. It was just halfway through, which is why it sort of felt like there was not a lot happening. I love Janice Soprano. I really do. She's a great character. But, I talked to Peter Carlin about this later, but I called BS on that whole thing of Bobby just belting Tony in the face. There's no way. That's BS. It just seemed like it came out of nowhere. Like, he's known Tony his whole life.
They all looked pretty drunk.
I guess.
I mean, did you see all the bottles of liquor and everything? They'd been drinking for hours and hours and hours, and he told them not to say anything else to her.
That's what Lara made that point, that they were really drunk. My whole thing is, like, if you're working for a mob boss, like, you know not to let yourself get put in that position. Like, no matter how drunk you were, you would never deck the Godfather. That's the thing. You just wouldn't. You would never punch Don Corleone in the face, just like you wouldn't punch... especially Bobby, who's not a dumb guy, who's a pretty savvy guy in terms of, I mean,
Well, it didn't look like it was premeditated. It looked like he just snapped, you know? I just think that his emotions came over him after he'd already told him to stop saying that stuff about his wife.
Maybe. I don't know. It was interesting. We'll talk to Carlin about it. Here's Tim Riley.
Steve from New Jersey said last night was a great start to the final 8 episodes.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was better than what they thought it would be.
Thanks, Steve from New Jersey.
Well, these are men a few words.
they talk with their fists.
Let's talk about obese children. Honey, We're Killing the Kids is the reality show that follows 13 unhealthy families whose bad habits is found out of control for the second season. Kids in the families have become overweight, unruly, and at high risk of developing serious mental conditions. Oh, medical conditions. Well, maybe that too. Parents get a real wake-up call when they see a computer-generated image of their obese child predicting what they'll look like if their current lifestyle...
Really?
It's going to be great.
Oh, that's
fantastic. Parents generally get upset, and they should be upset, not because they're bad parents, but because...
They are bad parents.
No parent wants to give their child an unhealthy forecast. And that's just the visual on the outside. We can only imagine what the inside looks like.
Who wants to see the inside of children?
I was just going to say, I can't wait to see the inside of a fat child. I think it's just going to be a lot of spongy whiteness. I mean, I think that's really what it is. It's just a lot of, what is it Nelson Muntz said when Lisa says, Nelson, I want to know what's inside you. And he says, guts and black stuff. That's it. It's just skin and fat. What program is it? Honey, We're Killing the Kids?
Yes.
I might watch that just to see the look on their faces when they show them what their fat little abhorrent bastards are going to look like in about 20 years. Just a bunch of tweedledums. That might be good. Hey, don't forget there's a Jonestown documentary on the night. Jonestown
people.
Well, for those of us who are less plugged in to the modern media.
Is it on basic cable?
It's on OPB. Do you get OPB?
Oh, it might be
Channel 10.
Yes. Yes, it is Channel 10.
That.
Are you eating snap peas or snow peas?
Yeah, sugar peas.
All right.
Sugar snap peas.
Yeah, so it's on Channel 10 tonight, 90 minutes, Jonestown, the People's Temple, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's do one more and then we'll break and we'll come back with Jim Roop around the corner.
Two members of their own action figures. Billboard reports that Bon Jovi Jovi Bon Jovi, well, that fellow, and Richie Samboro have been immortalized into toys. The figurine should hit the stores in August. No word on what Bon Jovi drummer Tico Torres and keyboardist David Brin will do, because they're not getting their own action figures. Bon Jovi will release his new album, Lost Highway, featuring the single You Want to Make a Memory, June 19th. The band will perform live on the CMT Awards and the May 2nd airing of Fox's American Idol.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty great. That's kind of perfect in a way. I can totally see Bon Jovi, you know, at American Idol. That makes a lot of sense. And for him, somehow, even though he's a huge star still, it doesn't seem like a step down for some reason. I think it's just because he's just such a shameless huckster to begin with. All right. We should take a break here. We'll come back with CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. More from Tim Riley. Susan Reynolds will join us next hour. What else? We'll talk to Scotty J. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there.